O triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts to receive again our Savior Jesus at the celebration of his birth. In these midweek services, help us to reflect on that one thing needful so that we be not carried away by the frivolous things of this world. So also this evening, fill our hearts with understanding and faith. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Advent mission of John the Baptist was to call the people to repentance. Applying that message also to ourselves, we confess our sins to God, our Father, seeking his assurance of our forgiveness. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and unclean, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and have failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. I confess my sins, repent of them, and trust in my Savior Jesus for forgiveness. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Lord, have
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. By His command and authority, I assure each of you that your personal debt of sin has been paid in full. God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you. Reading for this, our first midweek Advent service, is found in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning there with the 18th verse. And again, always Advent is that combination of preparing our hearts to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but also to prepare anew to welcome Him back when He comes in judgment on the last day. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Here ends our scripture reading. Please rise. For our confession, we use the words of the Christmas Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, who sent His Son to be my Savior. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, my Lord, the long-promised Messiah, who came as foretold, being conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by the angels, worshipped by the shepherds, adored by the wise men, who lived to suffer, die, and rise again, to free me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in my Savior, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I rejoice in my salvation, walk in Christ, show forth His praises, and will one day live and reign with Him eternally. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your fellow sheep who long for the return of the good shepherd, I wonder if we realize, if we often think about what we're saying, what's all involved when we talk about the rod of our good shepherd. We just sang about it in that last hymn. But like so many things, part of what Advent services are intended to do, not only to broaden our understanding of God's word, but it's that special time that we answer God's call to come to his house and to refocus, because it's so easy to get to drift off into the world stuff. It's so easy to get wrapped up in all that's going on, and I've got to do this and do this, and then we find ourselves saying things like, well, we're not going to have much of a Christmas this year. Oh, really? The Savior's not going to be born? Huh. That's too bad. So it's just this great opportunity, and you've availed yourself of that opportunity to be here, to be in God's Word, and we trust that Holy Spirit will be working, as he promised, through that Word to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in it, in us. The challenge here, of course, is that we tend to become numbed to the two things in Advent. Now, there's preparing to celebrate his birth, which we've done before. Many of you have done it many times. But there's also that warning in connection with Advent, because his first coming, which we're preparing to celebrate, always points to that second coming. And you've heard the warnings about, well, the foolish virgins, and people will be caught all unawares. And the problem with warnings is, one of the challenges is, you stop hearing them, don't you? Now, kids, you know that's true. You just say things to your kids over and over again, and they don't hear it. Now, watch both ways when you cross the street. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Be careful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Drive safely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't listen to it. It's just, yeah, mom and dad are saying something. And we're in danger of being in that same position when we hear these things over and over again. And we hear that warning about, okay, yep, you're going to celebrate my birth, but remember, I'm coming back. Be prepared. Be ready. Now, we know that unlike our frantic Christmas time where we got to get all this and that done, it's not like we have to get things done to be ready for Christ's return. In fact, we have to clear away the earthly things and just be in the faith. Anyone who believes in Jesus at his coming is ready, is prepared. But you and I know, we should know by now at least, our propensity to wander, to drift, to do things we shouldn't, think things we shouldn't, say things we shouldn't, and then be preoccupied with other things so that we slowly drift into paths we shouldn't go. So it is during our Advent, midweek Advent services this year, the plan is to center our meditations around that prayer that I'm sure many, maybe most, all of you learned as an infant. Jesus, tender shepherd, hear me. And this evening, we're going to ask him to hear us as we ask him to come this evening with his rod, that rod of the shepherd that we sing about, that we talk about, what it is that we're asking him to do. The text that will form the basis of our study this evening is found in the second book of Samuel, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, before we go on, the recipient of these words is King David at the end of his life. He, that is the offspring of David, shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is God's word. This is that which God gave us to clarify our thoughts, to refocus us, to help us grow and become stronger, better witnesses, better spokesmen, better ambassadors for our Jesus. That God would grant us these gifts also this evening, and he would refocus us and energize us. So we pray, sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. One of the several things that Christianity demands is reality. Now that sounds sort of maybe obvious or maybe a little obtuse, but think about the world in which we live and the nonsense, the silliness that is passed off all the time. It's like we've drifted onto an alien planet sometimes, and people just say the dumbest things, and yet somehow it's like, okay. And okay, now men and women are the same, and they're interchangeable, actually, by their own fiat. They can just say, I'm a woman or I'm a man now, okay. You can marry whatever you want, cats, computers, a light post, whatever, you can marry it. Homosexuality is not a natural perversion. That's just another form of love, and it's good, and God is happy with that. You go on and on. You've heard them. It's just, we're in a land of silliness where people just say stuff, and then everybody is like, okay. We can't do that. We can't be that. The Christian faith can't be make-believe, because when people hear what God said, they know that this other stuff is silliness for the most part. They know it's ridiculous. They know it's stupid. And therefore, it's incumbent on Christians to be different. And that's why we go back to what God told us, to speak the truth in love. Not this nonsense, pretend, make-believe. Speak the truth in love. And how God reminds us of our high calling as his gospel. Now, what does this have to do with Jesus, tender shepherd? Hear me, just this. We are not existing in reality. We're not speaking truth whenever we imagine that we are anything other than sheep. Silly. Superficial at times, prone to wander, stupid sheep. To pretend that we're something else is, again, in that la-la land, that to pretend that we're somehow strong or capable, I can take care of myself. No, you can't. It's just nonsense. We are dependent on our God for absolutely everything that we need. And that's why I still use this prayer. I remember being ridiculed in college. It must have been a deep hurt because it's still there. But I had a professor who ridiculed us. I think there was one other guy who admitted it. And he said, you give up that, give up childish things. That's not childish, that's childlike. I knew just enough of the Bible to be able to answer him. It's not childish. It reminds me It reminds me, I'm Jesus' little lamb. Still don't care how old I am, how big I get. I'm still Jesus' little lamb. I just want to and need to be reminded that I need my shepherd Jesus. And if I come to him as a mature adult, I'm going to lose track of who I am and the relationship I have with him. So I still use it. It's also why we begin our Advent series this evening by asking our tender shepherd to come to us with his rod. All of you are familiar with the 23rd Psalm and the part in it, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." What might not be so apparent is how or why the shepherd's rod should comfort us. Now, David was a shepherd, so David, it's not unfair of us to study all the uses of a shepherd's rod, because David knew what he was talking about. He didn't just throw this metaphor out and hope we got it. He knew what he was talking about. So what was the shepherd's rod used for? It was two purposes, two main purposes. One, it was a weapon of defense to defend the sheep. And we get that, and that's good. That fits, doesn't it? Your rod comforts me. That's a great thing to know, isn't it? That I have a good shepherd who uses that rod to protect me. He uses it against my enemies. I like that. But there was another use of the shepherd's rod, and that was to beat the stupid sheep if need be. In fact, I've read that shepherds would actually use that rod to break the legs of sheep that wandered off, because there was one thing that was terminal to a sheep, and that was to wander off, to be outside of the protection of the shepherd, because the predators were out there. Inside, the shepherd would give his own life to protect that sheep. Does that rod still comfort you? Knowing not just that Jesus will defend you against your enemies, but that Jesus will use that rod on you if need be, that's a tremendous comfort. It doesn't sound good, maybe, but you know how unnecessary that is. You know in your life when God has had to use that rod and smack you upside the head because you are just doing the stupidest thing. You're doing what you shouldn't. You're wandering where you shouldn't go. You're just being like a stupid sheep. And God found a way, didn't he, to use that rod to, again, smack you upside the head so that you suddenly realize, what am I doing? That's why that rod is a comfort. Because the one thing we can't afford, the one thing, is to wander away from our Savior, our Good Shepherd, because that's where the predators are. And we are helpless against predators. There's a reason God called us sheep. Sheep don't stand up to the wolves. Sheep don't stand up to the lion. In fact, sheep are so dumb, I'm also told, If a wolf gets in the sheep pen, they'll run until it catches one, and then they'll stand there and watch while it kills it. And then when he's done, he'll come after it again, and they'll run again, and then they'll stop and watch as he kills another one. They'll just keep doing that. And the wolf is having a great time. Translate that onto us. That's how stupid we are. We do things. We go places where the devil has the advantage, and we just stand there stupidly. And Jesus comes and smacks us with his word upside the head. Oh, right. That's why it would be barbaric if obviously a shepherd just beat his sheep. But that's why we are happy we have the good shepherd. And that's why David said, "Your rod," to his God, "and your staff, they comfort me." Not just any shepherd, the good shepherd. That's also why we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. However you need to do it, because again, that's the one thing we cannot afford, is to wander from our Savior. Our text for this evening is a great example. The setting is important. It's David toward the end of his life, and God is speaking to him. And you remember the scenario? David received the kingdom, and north and south were united, and Israel was becoming one of the greatest superpowers of the day. And David had received rest from all his enemies. No more war. And what did David want to do? Well, no brainer. He wanted to thank his God. How is he going to thank his God? I'm going to build the temple. And so he talked to Nathan about it, the prophet Nathan. And Nathan said, that's great. Do whatever's in your heart. The Lord is with you. And Nathan left. Nathan walked back home. Nathan got home, and God said, Nathan? Yes, Lord? No. That's not what I want you to tell him. Go back there and tell him the words of our text. You're not going to build me a house. It's good you thought of it. I'm not saying that's not good, but it's not for you. You're a man of blood. You're a man of war. Man after my own heart. But no. Think of that. Something that you would think would have been obviously good, a no-brainer. I want to thank my God. I'm going to build a temple for him. And God said no. We need that divine guidance of our God because we don't know. We think we do. We think we always do. But we don't. And that's why we want that rod of God's correction, guidance. It isn't always just to beat us. Sometimes it's just to move us a little bit in the right direction. Your heart is in the right place, but no, you're not going to do that. This was a change. This is what Nathan was commanded to tell David. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's why we ask our Savior, our Good Shepherd, to come, hear us, come among us with your rod of correction and instruction. We need that. There's more in our text, though. When he, David's heir, our text said, commits iniquity, I will discipline with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him. You remember David's offspring, Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man born. The Bible says so. And he did incredibly stupid things over and over and over and over. He brought idols in to his house with many of his hundreds of wives and concubines. That in itself makes you wonder how wise he was. And yet God didn't say if he sins, didn't he? Did he? He said when. When he sins, I'm not going to abandon him. I'm not going to reject him like I did Saul. That's comforting. I happen to believe that Solomon came to his senses in his later days. His writings in Ecclesiastes seem to indicate that. But there is mercy with this good shepherd, isn't there? It's the merciful use of that rod of correction. Nor did our text leave us in doubt as to God's ultimate goal. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. That's Jesus, isn't it? That's the only kingdom that's established forever. And that's how this relates to the coming of our Savior. The Jews were stubborn, rebellious, kind of like us. God knew that he had to bring that rod of correction with him. And when they were wise, they recognized the love of their Heavenly Father. To correct, to corral, to coerce whatever needed to be done with that Jewish, stubborn, rebellious Jewish nation until God could send that heir that would establish that throne forever. That's Jesus. So as part of our Advent preparation, we look forward to celebrating that coming of Jesus, but recognize it's not all candy canes and whatever else your holiday season includes. There's pain, there's misery, there's frustration. Why does God allow that? I don't know. He does, though. He absolutely does. The good shepherd, he doesn't beat his sheep for the fun of it. He beats it because we need it. He disciplines us because we need it, because we have to have it, because, again, that one thing that we can't afford is to wander away from our Savior. And so we pray, Jesus, tender shepherd, hear me and exercise your loving discipline in my life as you and you alone are able to do. Amen. We'll continue with the singing of our next hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior, whom you so graciously, lovingly sent to earth and offered as a lamb to sacrifice for our sins. Holy Jesus, true Son of God, we thank you for demonstrating God's love for us by coming here as our brother to die for our sins. As we return in spirit to Bethlehem during this time where you first appeared in human flesh to be our Savior, give us your grace to rededicate ourselves in what we think, say, and do, all to you, all to your glory, Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us the faith of John the Baptist, which believes and confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Savior of the world. Give us true joy and peace in so believing. O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in this season when we are reminded so much of the precious gifts of salvation which your divine love has given us, stir up in our hearts a deep sense of brotherly love and cause us to be concerned about the welfare of others. Give each of us a spirit of generosity toward those who are in need. O Holy Trinity, bless us, the lambs and sheep under your care, with every needful blessing, including discipline when needed. Help us to learn the lessons you would have us learn without needing that reprimand. Grant us, we pray, good health this winter season. Keep every kind of disease and illness from us. Watch over our children. Protect them from all harm and danger. Keep under your mercy and special care the aged, those who are infirm, feeble. Give aid to those who are in need, also through our own hand as we are able. When the winter weather becomes severe, keep us safe and warm. Protect us at all times in our travels. Stand guard over our homes, our schools, our churches, our places of employment. Grant these and all other needful blessings to us according to your grace and good pleasure, and hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.